everyone here. Stand up. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Welcome. Okay. Item number three, the approval of the agenda for today.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mark Joseph Phillips, Story County resident. This is Story County Commission meeting. It's Tuesday, October 15th, 2013. This is discussion before approval of today's agenda. Yesterday, I submitted to the clerk's office a letter addressed to Chairman Schovanger, which I'm going to submit to the clerk to attach and include in the minutes of this meeting. It's in regards to today's agenda, the fact that I'm disappointed that not on the agenda is approval of the publication of the financial statement for the first quarter of this fiscal year, NRS 244, Section 225, and also publication and posting the statements of amounts of bills allowed. That's NRS 354, 210. It was the third quarter of the last fiscal year. I tried really hard, and I did get a notice published in the Comstock Chronicle. I was kind of hoping y'all take care of that on your own. And this is especially relevant because of on the agenda is canceling to the next meeting. So this publication of these legal notices are delinquent. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments, changes for today's agenda? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, move for approval of the agenda. Today's date, October 15th, 2013.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item number five, approval amendment for September 17th. July 16th. Berlin.
Number four.
Number four, approval amendment for July 16th. Any comment? Motion.
Mr. Chairman, move for approval of the minutes for July 16th.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Item number five, approval minutes for September 17th. Comment? Anyone? Okay. Motion.
Mr. Chairman, move for approval of the minutes for September 17th, 2013.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Item number six, approval minutes for September 27th. Any comments? Anyone? Comments? Okay. Entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, move for approval of the minutes for September 27th, 2013.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Consent agenda. Any comments? Consent agenda changes? Comments on the consent agenda? No comments. All right. Entertain a motion.
Second motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, item number 11, the staff. Start with Sheriff. So I won't forget you over here. Because you're the side of the sitting.
Just quickly for informational purposes, we finally got the numbers back on the traffic count that we did over street vibrations. There's been a lot of estimating over the last few years, and we've got a solid count from all three routes in and out of town. And it looked like over the 4 days, Thursday through Sunday, there were about 25,000 vehicles passed through Virginia City, with about half of them, 12,000 of them, coming through on Saturday alone. So a lot of people, and pretty consistent with our estimates of 30,000 people over the weekend. So that's all I have. Any questions?
Just glad to see the traffic studies coming. It seems to me that's a pretty usable tool for us in the future as we're comparing our special events over the years and compared to last year. It seems like a very good operation.
On that, understand that the state of Nevada is looking to replace all their traffic counting units. They're testing several different versions right now, and they've told us that some of their old units may be available to obtain once they decide on their new models and start actually doing replacements. So I've expressed an interest to get three or four of them. So if we can get our hands on some of those, they run about $10,000 a unit. We'd have them available for us to be able to do studies throughout the county. They are a very useful tool. Portables.
Sean.
Good morning. I have some good news for you. We're at about 12 grand towards the 15 grand, getting real close to reaching the matching amount. And we're going to have a big fundraiser at CORE on November 8th, and I'll be sending all of you invitations. And I also want to thank Bill Maddox. The shelves that he ordered for the Law Library books will be installed in our offices Wednesday. So as of Wednesday, all the Law Library books will be up and in public view, and there's a little computer workstation there, so anyone can take access of them and utilize them and use the workstations, too. There's four workstations there. And I'll talk more about the CDBG grant when Sherry speaks. Any other questions? I'll send you guys an invitation to the event on the 8th.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. April.
No, Sherry.
Austin, while you're standing.
Running the sheet.
Take a couple of seconds.
Thank you, Chairman, Mr. Commissioners. I just want to bring a couple items up of attention. Just to let you know, as you know, the American Planning Association had awarded us C Street as the fourth best place in America, or the fourth best street in America. And we're going to have a nice celebration on November 1st down at the Tourism Commission office. And so everybody is welcome to attend. The commissioners are encouraged to attend. We're also going to send an invitation to the Virginia City Commission on Tourism. And they would like to present an award to the commission to accept regarding C Street as the fourth best place in the United States. And so down there we'll have a nice celebration. Once again, it's November 1st. It'll be at 5:30 in the afternoon till about 7:30, and at that place we'll have, beer and wine and a couple nice drinks and pizza and things like that. And so members of the public are also encouraged to attend, as it's also our street to celebrate, and I think it'll be a nice little event. If you have any questions about that, please feel free to call my office or call Desi Redman, my assistant. We'd be happy to provide you any information on that. Speaking of C Street, I want to provide a reminder, not only to the commission, but to the public, that Desi and I will start working on our C Street illegal signs sweep. We realize the season's over now, pretty much, and we wanted to give our businesses opportunity to do what they do, and now we're going to kind of go down and take a real nice, gentle approach and just see if we can kind of help our businesses learn what the sign ordinance is about, what it is and what it isn't. And we're pretty confident that most of our businesses want to, do what's right and bring themselves into compliance, get some signs cleaned up, and we'll be good to go there. I do want to let you know, down at the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, there's been a little bit of a renewed interest in our van pools. As you know, we're working with the Reno RTC for subsidy funding that comes in through them to provide van pools to our companies out of Tri. As you know, we had tried a bus system out of the industrial park, and a fixed route system really just doesn't work. All of the different companies out there have different schedules. Companies come in on different shifts, or employees come in on different shifts and different times. So having a micro transportation type of program seems to be a better fit. And so we have these 12 to 16 passenger vans that either an employer could sponsor, or an employee can go up to a bunch of his buddies that live in the nearby neighborhood and say, hey, how about we all get a van, and we all ride the van together and divvy up the cost together, and the RTC will then come in to subsidize a portion of it. The driver gets a bigger portion of the proceeds because the driver's taking the risk as far as being involved in the insurance and managing of the van. And then they ride together, and it ends up costing each person about $130 a month total cost, fuel, everything, to ride out to the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center. And then there's a ride-share program that we have with RTC and a guaranteed ride home. That means four times a month, if, you know, the school calls you and says Johnny's sick or something's going on, they'll send a taxi cab out to get you at no cost. And they'll bring you over, get your kid, and take you home. You don't have to worry about being bound to that van. So eBay has four of these running right now, and eBay is actually paying for it themselves. They're not requiring the employees to pay any of it, and eBay gets subsidies back actually from their own parent companies as well as otherwise for tax write-offs and things like that. So we also have PPG, and James Hardy's been looking at these, as well as Quidsi. So hoping the best on that. And then while we're on that route, I'll let you know that, as you know, down at Reno, they have all of the gourmet food wagons that you see down there. Our team is going to work with those gourmet food wagons and see if we can get a few of them to go out to the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center on some public right-of-way land, on some areas that are cleared out, and potentially provide lunch services to our people out there that have 20-minute breaks and don't have enough time to be able to drive all the way out to Hot Pot or Subway to get a bite to eat. So this might be an opportunity where they can congregate at three or four places out at the park and then, you know, have some opportunity for employees to get some nice lunch. And I guess these are pretty nice coaches. And that is it.
Do you have any idea what the ridership is on the four vans that eBay is running?
They're 12 passengers each. So
are they full?
They won't use them unless they're full. I can't tell you if they're every single seat is full, but they're generally full, yes.
It would be cost effective if they get the ridership.
It is, yeah. And eBay gets from their parent company, they'll give them some extra kickbacks on those sorts of things, that they provide things for their employees like that. And like I said, there's two different programs. If the employer says, you know, we're not in the transportation business, this is a little bit too much risk for us to take on right now, then I tell the companies, you can be completely hands-off, not even know about it. Go ahead and just disseminate information to your employees and let them kind of set it up themselves, and they run it. They get a hold of our team with the van pools. They set it up. They sign on the dotted line. And then the best thing about it is, if it doesn't work, it's a failure, that, you know, all the buddies aren't buddies anymore, whatever, they turn the van back. It's not like there's long-term leases or anything like that. It's basically a weekly rental of that van.
Is this a new program? But I'd like to commend you for this. I think we've been looking at it for a lot of years on how to solve the transportation problem. Is this a new element that we've added, something that came from your desk? Or?
It's fairly new. We've been running this about 3 years. And, you know, at first was kind of learning how to do it and get it going. I've been going out to every company personally and driving out there and visiting with all of them. And some of them bring you right in, and they want to talk all about it. And some of them are like, you know, we like the idea, but we're not quite ready for that yet. So I'll plan this winter to go back out there and do another visit to the companies, bring Desi with me and sit down and talk with them. I have all kinds of literature I provide them, you know, just colorful brochures and contact information. And then when we email back and forth, you know, I copy our team. We have Carol Perry from Washoe RTC, and then we have our VPSI van service pool group, and we kind of get the communications back and forth. It's a challenge getting it off the ground because the companies are really worried about risks. They don't necessarily say, you know, we're in the whatever business. We're not in the providing vans business and having our employees drive around all over the state and worrying about what might happen. But I think that's the key, is letting them know that there's that second option where they can go and say, let their employees run it, let their employees manage it, and don't worry about it at all as far as a company.
I think everybody thanks you for that. Great effort. I hope that works well.
Thanks a lot. I think we'll get it more and more. When you get four of them running, then other companies start talking. They're like, hey, I know my neighbors are doing this. That seems to be kind of a nice idea. The brand new vans, they look nice. I know that RTC and Carol have parked a van out there at USA Parkway with a banner on it saying you could ride one of these for a little cost, you know. They're doing some things to get it out.
One other comment I'd make on the coaches coming out with the food. A lot of talk in the trade area about these food vendors, and it's interesting, but some of our major restaurants in the trade area are looking to put in a mobile service food process for their restaurants to outreach the various communities that aren't coming in. Seems to be a pretty good marketing program, and really exciting. I'm very happy to work with them on that project.
You know, I might just chime in on something Austin said. He really has done a great job restructuring and packaging the RTC van pool, which we're getting better results than we've ever gotten before. And I also want to compliment the RTC itself. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're working this. It's great to see them not take the parochial attitude that you aren't in Washoe County, so you've got to pay money. It's member-based, and they also have, I think, another program, I think, they used to anyway, where if I live in Reno or Sparks, and maybe I don't have enough for my schedule doesn't work with the van schedule, I think you can still call into a database and in essence say, I live in this part of town and I'm looking for just a carpool buddy that will take me to Walmart or to Pittsburgh Paint or wherever I may be going. And that's a very undersung program that I think is also helping us a lot out there. So
that's exactly
doesn't fit the model exactly, but it'd be wonderful if we could identify a van program like that so that residents from Mark Twain or the Highlands or Virginia City could actually have a van tool that would take them to the jobs that are out there and distribute them. And perhaps that's something long-term to work. I've talked to a lot of the residents saying it's expensive and it's a long ways to get, say, from Virginia City or Mark Twain out to the job base. Hopefully USA Parkway will remove some of that. But that'd be great for you to get that kind of transportation.
To go from Stead to Tahoe Reno Industrial Center will cost each rider about $130 a month total cost. That's fuel, that's the van, that's insurance, that's everything. And the van company takes care of all that stuff. You just put your butt in the seat and you pay your $130 to the driver and you're set. You don't have to worry about anything else.
Well, theoretically, could Virginia City, for example, have a van that visited 5 days a week or whatever?
100%, yeah. We'd have to structure it different with the RTC. There may not be certain subsidies and things, but we could definitely structure a different type of service like that that wouldn't be bus-based. It would be a van pool-based, absolutely.
And I think, Lance, that's where the jurisdiction of RTC ends, is the minute we start looking at anything driven either in our county or Lyon County or Carson City, the RTC won't participate. There's nothing to preclude us from still trying to structure a program if we had the funding to do so.
As this board knows, too, as we had in the past, we worked with Carson City RTC. They've been really great with us. We had the Jack bus running for a while. We weren't quite ready for it. The ridership wasn't where it needed to be. But Carson City was all over about helping Story County and Mark Twain and even Dayton, which is Lyon County, about coming up with some kind of a thing. They might be able to work with us on a subsidy program or some other program with a very similar operation. And I want to just touch on what Pat said, too, with that website, is if anybody goes to RTC Rideshare, I think it's .com or .org, you can type in your address, and then it'll show you a Google Earth image, and all the little bubbles will pop up around you within so many miles that you choose of all these other people that are involved in these riding, and you can click on them, become friends or whatever you do online and say, hey, you know, my name's John, I want to do a ride out to wherever, where are you going, and try to build up a relationship with people around you. It's like a dating service, I guess you would say, except a van dating service. But you could do the same type of thing to find people around you that are doing the same thing.
Exciting programs.
Okay, there's nothing else. Thank you.
Thank you. Did they got anything from Mark Twain?
Yes, sir. I'm with RST today, Mr. Spanchin.
Okay.
Okay.
Denny?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, with the exception of Christmas on the Comstock, this last Saturday kind of marked the end of our events for 2013. Zombies. Who would have figured that we'd do something like that here in Virginia City, but I think we all found out that minus a few logistical issues we had on the backside that most folks did, would never see, pretty successful for the town. You know, so far a lot of reviews have been very positive. Again, a few things we have to fix, but we know how to do that now that we've gone through it once, and I think the promoters and the town's pretty excited about what we can do with that event in the years to come. The one thing we did learn throughout the entire season of our first year of back in our own events is what to do, what not to do with some of these events. With that, a survey went out on Sunday to a lot of the local merchants, residents, folks that we work with at the VCTC, in the hopes to get some feedback on how we did, what we did wrong, what we can improve, how we could add a new event for 2014. A week from today at Piper's at 5:30, we're going to have a workshop. The workshop's two halves. The first half will be to review our results of the survey that folks are turning back in. The second half will be to provide a social media workshop to our businesses or even our nonprofits here in town on ways they can set up their own social media outlets and how they can share their information with the VCTC. We have a pretty powerful database, and we're getting pretty good about getting the word out on the wire, so to speak. And so it's just, again, a way to see how we're doing things, how to integrate your business, your message with the VCTC. We can get it out there and understand what everybody's doing. Another thing is our Virginia City mobile app. We put it out about the middle of March. As of last, about 2 weeks ago, we had over 54,000 folks have downloaded our Virginia City mobile app. Now, that is different IP or different addresses, email addresses, for their Apple account or their Android account. So it's not, there's no duplication if you have an iPad and an iPhone. These are separate. So and there's about 30,000 folks that are actually using it. So I think we're finding out that that's an avenue that we're, again, communicating very well with the public. There's some opportunities there for advertising. A walking tour will be implemented this winter. Again, more of an audio tour versus a walking tour on each of our attractions here in town, pretty much selling history. And then lastly, Nevada Day Parade. Again, Story County is going to win that darn thing and have the best float in the parade. We have getting all of our material together. We've got a subcommittee meeting for months now. We'll have it together by the end of the week. And next Wednesday, we'll be out of Public Works putting it together, take it down the following Saturday, and have a good time, show off our colors here for Story County. That's all I got. Question?
What did you wind up with head count on the Red Run?
I believe their totals were in over 1,000 runners. May or may not included a few extra zombies that showed up out there. I know they had 280 of them, those folks that were dressed up. That's, you know, you put that aside with the entourage that came up, the family, the friends and whatnot. You know, rough estimate, 3,000 to 4,000. It's a pretty good crowd. Many of the folks that I talk with, businesses, put the event right up there with how well they did, and along with street vibrations. Had a great Saturday for a lot of folks.
Certainly not good.
Yeah,
what people like that vote?
Yes, they do. If you're registered, I guess they do. I guess they do. But a different demographic. You know, you look at all of these events. We had 3 weeks in a row. You had street vibrations, one group of folks, outhouses, another group of folks, and then a third weekend. So that's three different types of folks, totally different crowd for all three events that got a taste of Virginia City. So it's good stuff.
I was really impressed with the turnout this past Saturday. It was just certainly something that was a good idea that worked out and seemed to go quite well for the first time out of the bag, too.
Yeah, I mean, overall successful. Again, we're looking for the...
Well, what are the
yeah, there's some issues, but it's, again, they're all fixable issues.
Mr. Chairman,
yes,
I might add some thought to it. We put eight people in the team, and we had four runners and we had four zombies. And I can tell you that they all had the time of their lives. The reports that came back, one young lady runs regular 10Ks, and she said this was the most beautiful sighting for a run that she'd ever been through. And everybody had a great time. It was a first year event that, in my opinion, went very well. And I heard lots and lots of comments. It was certainly a hands-on sport. So, you know, it wasn't for sissies. But on the other side of the coin is everybody that I have associated with. We had one lady that had to go have some x-rays taken. But even she's coming back next year. She had a great time.
Yeah, Lance, I think that it's important to understand, too, it wasn't just about, you kind of touched on it there, about the beauty of the run. It wasn't just about this haunted thing and zombies running around having fun and having some drinks. The promoters really pushed each of the venues, the cemeteries, St. Mary's, the V&T, Fourth Ward School. On their website, they pushed the history of each of these locations. It wasn't fabrication. It was all real life stuff. And I think that pairing the two made it worthwhile for a lot of folks, where they enjoyed the scenery, got to read a little bit about history, and then had some fun.
So may become the biggest event in Virginia State.
Will be. We'll try. Thanks.
Thanks, Denny.
Sherry.
Good morning. Emergency management, we're moving our office. We're in the process of doing that today and over the course of the week. We're moving to 372 South C, the former Historic Commission office. They're right next to the Cafe Del Rio. So we're looking forward to that. And we're very thankful for all the help that we've gotten from the building and grounds crews. Our emergency management conference that we held last month at Piper's Opera House saw a record number of attendees. We had about 70 plus over the course of 2 days. Loved it here. Want to come back every year. We said, well, I don't know, maybe every other year. So that was a big success for us. We're currently in the process of preparing a couple of different grant applications. One is CDBG, and I'll talk about that a little bit later here. But one is the Commission on Cultural Affairs, and we want to look at that to replace the roof on this building, not necessarily replace the whole thing, but make needed repairs. And then the other funding cycle we're looking at is the Historic Preservation Grant Fund. We get that every year. That's done a lot of the electrical in this building, the snow shed, the back fence. This year we're going to consider updating the structural study that we did for earthquake retrofitting. So I've got a quote that just came in this week for that. So we're in the process of working on those. I'll also be meeting with folks from the Gold Hill Depot this Thursday to look at how we can help them with that building as well. In May 17th, 2014, we are hosting a full-scale evacuation drill in the Virginia City Highlands. This is a large undertaking. We've been working, planning it for the past several months here. We have grant funds to produce this. This will involve evacuating residents from their homes in the Highlands and bringing them to evacuation shelter here in Virginia City. So that's May of next year. We're going to begin educational sessions with the residents beginning in March of next year. Last event here that I have to talk about is the Food Day, or the Food Bank and Story County Day. That is going to be November 13th from 1 to 5 and November 15th from 8 to 12. That's open to all county staff. We're almost filled up for the 15th, and I've got a few spots left on the 13th, so aiming for 15 people each day, and we're very close to that. So if you have a chance to attend, it's a great event. So I appreciate that. Anyone have any questions?
Quick question. Early on in the year, we had discussed focusing some grant efforts into the Mark Twain and the Lockwood communities and the Highlands. And just curious if you've made any progress, had some contacts, or have some direction in some of the outlying communities.
I have several folks here today from the Lockwood community interested in applying for the community development block grants. They're currently the only community that is eligible to apply based on their income. So we've been exploring different opportunities. I've been working with Commissioner Sylvain on a small grant program to different nonprofits throughout the county, and we hope to be able to maybe launch that next year. I've been doing some work with Washoe County. They have a similar program in place, and it's been working very well for them over the past several years. So, you know, it's small grants. I think the max they've done is up to $50,000. That was when times were good and the money was there, all the way down to like $5,000 grants to just to support the nonprofits. So.
Were we able to complete the studies in Mark Twain?
We have not launched that yet. The study here in Virginia City took a considerable amount of time, about 7 months, and we just haven't had a chance to launch that next. That's, you know, that is in the works. We will not be able to use Nevada Rural Water on this one because we don't have any water utilities down there, so I'll have to work with a different third party to do that survey for us.
Will there be a timeline on that survey?
Hopefully we can launch that at the beginning of 2014. And it's going to be a challenge in that community because we don't have a utility down there to really drill into the residents that live there. It's probably going to be a lot of door-to-door versus mailing out. So,
Well, you have a new board down there now and the community center, so maybe you could tie in with them. And
excited to work with them on that. Hopefully they know who's living here or who's not living there. I mean, I hate to send out a bunch of surveys to addresses. You know, we've got our tax rolls and our assessors' information, but there's so many homes that are unoccupied that we'd be wasting our time just mailing a bulk mailing out to there. So if we can refine it, you know, we did that in Lockwood and we did that here in Virginia City, and we had a pretty good list with a lot, you know, people don't necessarily respond, but at least it's getting to them. So if we can drill that list down to something manageable.
Seems like we can get the word out on how important those surveys are if they understand that they return the surveys and that we qualify,
Yeah. And
the grant money is available. If they don't and they boycott the program, then our hands are pretty tight.
Surveys are very hard. I think Pat can attest to that. He did some public outreach for me on the Virginia City Gold Hill survey. And it's a challenge. You know, Lockwood was a challenge for us as well, and you do as much outreach as you can. Some people just flat out tell you, no, I'm not doing a survey.
We tried to position the Virginia City Gold Hill Silver City survey in such a way that, you know, made sense to us. We social media the thing, press released it. Sherry did a phenomenal job. And there is, I guess, after I called 10 friends that I felt maybe owed me a favor, I found I apparently owe at least 10 favors right now, and I probably called 20 friends and only got 10 yeses. There is a natural aversion to wanting to provide income information to any entity. I mean, I could assure them it was going down to Carson City. We weren't seeing it. We weren't going to tax on it or anything like that, but people just don't want to kick loose how much they make, and I understand that, but it's just something we got to keep doing. Lockwood succeeded, so Yeah. If we could do it in Lockwood, we ought to be able to do it elsewhere.
Yeah, we went door to door over a course of a week.
And we succeeded here, but the good news is we got enough statistical samplings to satisfy the grant funders. The bad news is, if that's bad news, is we make just a skosh too much average income as it's related to the poverty rates or whatever indexes they tie them to. So we're ineligible for those types of programs.
Yeah, less than 3%, and that's for CDBG grants. So we do still qualify for USDA funding and hopefully state revolving loan. However, USDA has been closed for the past 2 weeks, so they were in the process of, you know, certifying our survey and everything, and then they've been completely shut down. So
how often could we do the survey, Sherry?
They're supposed to be good for 5 years.
So we do this work today, but we have 5 years to wait before we can resubmit?
Well, best case scenario would be the census data and the American Community Survey data would come back in our favor. Folks, I know I've had a couple calls from people in Lockwood who've received those American Community Surveys, and those are random. They're mailed throughout the course, you know, between the census, and it's one of those things that they use to compile the income data. So if folks get those, please fill them out. It's nothing that we're doing on behalf of the county. It's the census that sends those out.
Now maybe we could focus some of our educational effort in the community centers, in each one of the communities, to help get the word out and help promote this thing a little bit. I think it's so important for the revenue opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sherry.
Bill, you got anything for us?
No.
Pat?
Oh, yes, several things. Some personnel moves. I think we've mentioned at least one meeting, Jerry Honay will be retiring next month. That is a critical job. in the county, and that she processes both our payables, our bill processing, and also staff payrolls in a complex job, and she certainly will be missed, but after the number of years of service that she's given, it's a well-deserved retirement. Jennifer Chapman, who has been in our Public Works office, has agreed to step in and fill Jerry's job. Fortunately, for the last 3, 4, 5 years, we have used her as a relief, so Jerry could occasionally take a week of vacation. So Jen Chapman will be moving over to Hugh's office, and actually essentially has. And we looked at a number of restructure options with replacing Jen over at the Public Works office. Keep in mind that Mike runs a crew predominantly of field people. They're never in the office. And one office person there to address water billings and those types of things was something that we felt was important. But we also realized that there could be some restructure, hopefully, and we could add in some additional duties. So there were several applicants. Austin and his group looked at each one. I stayed out of it. Austin and Mike, actually. Ultimately, Susan Breilinger from our office was chosen to go over, but with the caveat that she continued to do a program that she excels in, and that's our Health and Human Services, or formerly known as Indigent Support. So she's taking that whole program over there, which is a natural nexus with water. She'll take us to the next level and make sure we're compliant with state and federal laws on that stuff. We are not replacing Susan in my office, so that'll be the cost savings. We advised the department heads this morning at the 8:30 meeting that we still do have almost in-house temp relief available, but that's the shakeout. So if you see one less person in and around my office at any point in time, even though she wasn't there very often, she was usually out at other offices, that's what we've done. Mike Nevin would have also wanted to report that I think we're close, and I don't recall on our press releases, I believe we're very close to starting the installation work on the water relief valves. Those are the pressure relief valves on the main line coming into town. There will be some downtimes on water. We will have water. They'll keep the tanks topped off, but it's one of those you got to drain the line, install the relief valves, and they're in very isolated locations. So through our social media site and through breaking news on the webpage, we will endeavor to keep everybody in Virginia City, Gold Hill, and Silver City aware of it, but I encourage people to keep an eye on those medias for that reason. There'll be notices. I'll defer to Commissioner McBride during board comment for him to tell you about our trip back to Washington, D.C. a week or so ago to testify at Congressman Amade's request on H.R. 1167. Sherry mentioned courthouse group, and I just kind of wanted, we had a meeting with Historic and the grant funders and a few other people. It's pretty common knowledge and easily observed that outside, particularly the east facade of this courthouse, is in very poor shape, both cosmetically but also in some cases structurally. And it was the consensus pretty much of the group of funders of which we get our money from primarily for this, that well, yeah, it would really be nice to slap a coat of paint on it. It's not the smartest thing to do when you still have structural changes, roofing that's more critical, and those types of things. So I just kind of want to remind everybody that it is a phased work, and we're even looking at trying to prioritize maybe if it's just a temporary Earl Schott coat of paint to stiff it up and make it look good. IT informed us all this morning that on Friday the 18th, email service will be down. We're bringing our email we're switching email servers to a larger one because our capacities are straining the existing server that we have. So for those of us emailing us, probably won't see any response from the period of time of 6 a.m. Friday morning until it's estimated sometime around 2 p.m. in the afternoon while everything gets over and wakes up and does what it does. We are aware of some website issues, particularly if you've updated to the latest Internet Explorer. I don't know the number to it. I think it's 10. And you may get a 404 error code if you get those. You have a couple of solutions. But you can always make us aware of it via email. You can email me or email James Dean. But another suggested one is we are seeing, and I'm not hawking Google Chrome over Microsoft, whatever it is, Internet Explorer, but we are having very few issues for those that have said, okay, I'm not getting it there, and they log on with a Chrome browser. So if you've got access to that, you might try that. IT also let me know this morning, just before the meeting started, that we are making progress on the public documents section of the website. The website is now done totally in-house, which saves us very sufficient money. But we're working diligently on trying to get public records more available. Those would be our audits, the type of reports that Mr. Phillips referenced, and just a whole wide variety of others. So our staffs are aware that that is now live and working. It's a left-hand click on our website. There should be a public document section. I do want to remind everybody that by approving the consent agenda today, there will not be a meeting on November 5th this time. The next meeting will be November 19th. And unless I'm advised different by either the commission or Mr. Maddox and Ms. Dufresne, I will probably go ahead and schedule that one to start at 8:30 in the morning, as there is an open house for one of our new businesses that has chosen Tahoe-Reno Industrial Park to locate to. They're a large one called Nature's Way, and they are having an open house on the 19th that is scheduled to start at 11 a.m. So we'll be trying to keep the agenda a little bit light and lean and kicking off at 8:30 in the morning unless I'm notified by one of you that you don't want that. And the last date for everybody to remember and mark your calendar, because I know it gets busy as the holidays crunch in on us, would be December 6th. I don't have a start time, but I'm believing at 6 p.m. That would be the county's annual Christmas party. It will be held once again at Piper's Opera House. The school district is great to work with us on that. I'm making it available at no cost to us, other than our participation with them throughout the year. It is open to the public, and we encourage people to come and celebrate the holidays. So that's it, sir.
All righty. Thank you. Okay. Item number 12 is resolution number 13384.
Good morning, board. For the record, Robert Morris. I wanted to just start out by saying that I'd been on vacation for a while, and so I hadn't been quite as hands-on for the material in the board's packet. It shows some track changes that might have been confusing. The document is correct. I do have a clean copy that I'll be giving to the clerk for the board to sign off on. If I could just give you a little bit of history, if you recall, last year we renamed the board and put in some new provisions. There were actually two resolutions done, they were 12-340 and 12-343. Mr. Phillips had pointed out some statutory language that we decided that was appropriate to change, and so that was a 12-343. There was a recent resolution, and that was 13-381 that was done just briefly, or just a short while ago, and tax commission, after meeting with us, sent us a letter requesting certain changes be made, and after reviewing those changes with Mr. Gallagher and Mr. Witten, we've put together a new resolution, which is the 13-384, and the idea was we wanted to put everything in one resolution, so if somebody had a question about the VCTC or the Story County Fair and Recreation Board, they could look at one document and everything would be in it. So while there aren't that many changes to what was approved by the board a year ago, what we've done is incorporated the changes that the tax Department of Taxation has asked. And just briefly, they had asked to remove all references to special revenue fund, remove all references to any other person or organization having any authority over the VCTC board, and then to establish an agreement between the county and VCTC that where the county provided assistance in any matters, that there would be a payment for that by the VCTC. And so then the last thing they said was amend Resolution 13381 to remove all references to the VCTC as a special revenue fund. And so we've done that, and I think I've put in the preamble language, the reason that we're doing it, and that it's basically to make clear the funding so that Department of Taxation is happy with what we're doing here. If you look through the resolution, there is no reference to a special revenue fund. We've put in language under 6C saying that the Fair and Recreation Board will adopt an agreement with the county to reimburse the county for any costs, including financial reporting and human resources. We have this slightly different perception of the status of the Fair and Recreation Committee or the Fair and Recreation Board from the Department of Taxation, but I think we've reached an accommodation that works out for both of us. I would say the other thing that this does is on number 9, it repeals 13381. There's language in the existing resolution that allows the tax or the money from collected in Virginia City and Gold Hill to go to the Fair and Recreation Board. So we're just going to repeal that resolution because basically all it did was set up a language to say that it was going to the special revenue fund of the VCTC, since the tax commission doesn't really think that's appropriate. We're just going to repeal that resolution. So unless there's some questions, I would ask that you go ahead and approve this resolution. I think it takes care of all the matters. One thing I did talk to Mr. Denny about having it approved by the VCTC, and I think that was done. There was a timeline that we had agreed to at the meeting, and that was that this resolution would have been approved by the VCTC on October 10th, that we would present it today to the board, and that once it's signed, that we'll send a copy to the Department of Taxation. And so unless, like I said, there are any questions, I'd ask you to go ahead.
And I think the only thing I'd like to add is Bob's been great to work with. This should tidy up about a year and a half of bickering back and forth over what I would call minor technicalities. But the big picture in this whole thing is that was paramount to us was to retain enough autonomy with the VCTC to continue to call it a Fair and Rec Board so that we can continue to levy the 1/4 cent sales tax override that is a major contributor to tourism. And again, I would add again, while certainly our merchants in town have to collect that and remit it, our bars have to collect that and remit it, restaurants, you know, the bulk of that really comes, the big lifts that fund us so well or fund the VCTC so well is really new construction out at TRI, new capital projects out at TRI. ARDA alone is investing something like $62 million, and we will get our sales tax on that. Quarter cent on $62 million will help go a long way. So they seem happy with this. They brought up a fairly high-level person, and we had a good conversation about this and several other items, but they should resolve it. I think we still have an interlocal Are we doing an interlocal or?
I think we can fashion an agreement for the both boards to approve at some point in the near future. And basically, it's like cost allocation, I would think. And hopefully that'll be pretty easy to do.
Well, and there's still some waters to navigate. I mean, to be very truthful, having been part of the original effort to partner better with the VCTC and save money, human resources and fiscal support through payables and everything, payroll, don't really cost us much, if anything, additional, because we do it within our existing capacities. So it's our intent still to try to have as much money continue to go toward the promotion of tourism as we possibly can, because events like Red Run this weekend, I think, prove out and make the cash registers ring in town. So we're not obligated necessarily to charge, but we're reserving the right to charge should we incur additional costs.
And I would just bring that up because one of the things that we did in the original was to put their VCTC employees as county employees. So my feeling is that while there can be an agreement that they would pay the costs as county employees, there really are not that many costs that I believe would show up.
More questions on this?
And if there's any public comment.
Mark, come on up.
And while Mark comes up, I may add again, even though they are county employees, they are paid by the separate board and group, the VCTC, so as their salaries are. We are not paying, the county is not paying for the employees brought in to county service that have previously worked for the VCCTA.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Again, Mark Joseph Phillips, Virginia City resident, October 15th, 2013. Agenda item number 12, resolution number 1384. I'd like to start out by thanking Mr. Morris for his good work. And I would like to acknowledge the people that helped me get this resolution on the agenda today. It took a lot of work from the public, a lot of trips to State Comptroller's Office and Department of Taxation expressing our concerns. So it's been a battle. This is progress. I appreciate it. One thing I'd like to do is I'll write up a written request for the correspondence with Department of Taxation that's suitable for framing, and I'm sure correspondence with taxation on this would be public record. I'd like Mr. Dotson to work on his exemption status with the Secretary of State, especially in regards to state liquor licenses as a governmental agency. And I'm looking forward to the resolution clarifying the jail fund, just like this. This is real progress. Thank you, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Anyone else? Going once, going twice, looking for a motion.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, move for approval of resolution number 13-384.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, moving right along here. Item number 13, discussion on CDBG.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Sherry Nevin, and I come before you today to speak about the Community Development Block Grant Program. We're required to hold two public meetings on this to invite members of the public to come and provide input on different projects that they would like to see for these grant funds. So today I'm here at this meeting. Thursday I'll be at the Planning Commission meeting, and we'll come back to you on November 19th for recommendations for the application. This Community Development Block Grant Program was established in 1982. It's administered by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development and passed down through the State Governor's Office of Economic Development. CDBG G funds are spent on projects that help achieve one or more of the following goals: to the development of suitable living environments, to provide decent housing, the creation of economic opportunities in rural parts of the state. Program funds will be spent on projects which primarily serve low and moderate income persons and limited clientele, such as senior citizen services. At this time, the only area of Story County that qualifies based on the low to moderate income is the Lockwood community. Senior services are considered limited clientele, and therefore they qualify throughout the entire county. The CDBG program is a genuine federal state local government partnership. The state receives its CDBG funds from the federal government and uses those funds to provide grants to units of local government which implement the projects, typically using local contractors and/or nonprofit organizations. In Nevada, there are 26 local government entities that can apply for the state CDBG funds, and Story County is one of those. These funds may be used for a variety of projects. I'm going to read you off a short list. That's not everything here, but it's just some of the uses of these funds: acquisition of property for public purposes, construction or reconstruction of streets, water and sewer facilities, neighborhood centers, recreation facilities, and other public works, demolition, rehabilitation of public and private buildings, public services, planning and capacity building activities, assistance to nonprofit entities for community and economic development activities, assistance to private, for-profit entities to carry out economic development activities, including assistance to microenterprises. The amount of funds available for the 2014 application cycle is unknown at this time. The average grants we've seen in the past few years are about $100,000 to $300,000 per entity, and each entity, Story County, is eligible to submit two applications. Past and present projects funded by CDBG include the Story County Swimming Pool ADA upgrades that we just recently completed here. We also sponsored another grant, which is currently in progress this year for RSVP, for them to carry out their rural transportation program. We've sponsored a grant for the Rural Nevada Continuum of Care, which is to combat homelessness in this part of the state. We've done improvements to our water and sewer systems. We've done a countywide flood plan. We've done a water and sewer master plan. We've also received funding in past years for work with the Canyon GID and their wastewater reconstruction plant. This year, I've been approached by four different entities, and I believe they're all here today. I'm going to introduce them and allow them to come up and speak to you briefly on the program that they're proposing and the potential cost for that program. So first, I'm going to ask the RSVP to come forward. They're coming asking for funds to sponsor a respite care program this year, and Susan Haas and her team is here from RSVP. The next one I'll call forward after RSVP is going to be the Canyon General Improvement District, and they're looking for some funding for infrastructure improvements, and Mitch is here from their office today. The next is going to be the Lockwood Community Corporation. They're represented by Edna Cudworth and Al McKenzie, and they're looking to do some erosion control. And the fourth group I have here is going to be Sean Griffin is going to be speaking on behalf of the Story County Senior Center and some work we want to do with them. So I'll let Susan get started.
Thank you, Sherry, Chairman Savangian, and commissioners. For the record, I'm Susan Haas, Executive Director for Rural RSVP, which, of course, is the Retired Senior Volunteer Program. And I want to thank you all for your support of our program throughout the years. It's meant so much, and it shows the respect that you have for senior citizens, which, as you know, a lot of times, unfortunately, are the forgotten ones, the invisible ones. But these are the people that built our country, and these are the people that deserve our respect. And I'm here to talk to you today about the respite program. And that's what, as you can imagine, respite, a break, some relief. We have families that are struggling to remain at home, independent, and out of institutions which they fear more than death. A lot of times it's husbands and wives taking care of one another. Sometimes it's children taking care of their parents. It's loved ones that are being kept care of at home with love. And it's a difficult thing 24/7, taking care of another adult, their needs, every need. We have folks that have Alzheimer's disease. And Alzheimer's disease, as you know, it's become an epidemic in our country. It's just amazing. And with the tsunami of aging, the people with Alzheimer's, related dementias, requires 3 full-time people to take care of them. RSVP volunteers provide them with breaks for those suffering from Alzheimer's, Parkinson's disease, diabetes, senility, age-related dementias and disorders. And the volunteers come in and provide that person with someone new to talk to, someone to share their stories with. And that stimulates their minds and lets them know that they're still worthwhile people. And so I have Denise Victorine is our field representative here in Story County, and Chris Hughes is our program coordinator. She's here with me today. We've passed out a budget narrative. We're asking for you to sponsor us in the amount of $64,800, and this would provide another 20 volunteers to assist to give this life-saving service, because unfortunately, if the person who's providing the care is suffering from any kind of health issues, 63% of the time, they predecease their loved ones. So what happens to the loved one? The loved one has to go into an institution. There's no other resource for them. So this is a life-saving service. It's the most cost-effective way to keep individuals out of institutionalization, which, as I know you realize, is very expensive, and there's so many wonderful ways to alleviate this by providing volunteer care. The need is critical in our state, and there are 4 kinds of people. People who have been a caregiver, people who currently are caregivers, people who will be caregivers, and people who will need caregivers. So I think we all fall into that realm. And I can give you any information that you might have questions about. I would be happy to provide a full proposal for you to consider. And we were talking about the CDBG funding. Denise, isn't there Sherry, isn't there a third category now for multi-county that they added at the forum for the third request?
That would be a set-aside funding. This is not set-aside funding.
Okay, so we would request that you consider us for one of the 2 grants that you do have available to you. Are there any questions?
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for your kind attention.
Appreciate your coming
and your continued support.
You did a wonderful job.
Thank you so much.
None of us are old enough yet to benefit from any of it, but
Sherry, while Mitch is coming up,
yep.
Is what Susan is requesting, does our failed the results of our income surveys, does that work against us in any way, since part of that's the serving area, or is it?
Nope. Their program benefits a limited clientele, senior services, and therefore that is not subject to the income requirements. And their program as well, we're going to be sponsoring it, and it's not just for services in Story County. It's for services in the rural counties. You know, you can probably tell me you guys do work pretty much all 17 counties, I believe.
We do. We don't have a program right now in Clark County. We have limited programs in rural parts of Washoe. Our focus is rural Nevada. These funds would be solely for rural Nevada, not even Carson City, because Carson City is now a municipality. So this would be for strictly rural Nevada senior citizens.
Okay. Mitch?
Good morning.
Hi.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. Mitch Andrini, Manager, Canyon General Improvement District. And we're also applying for funds, too. We'd like to, just real briefly, we'd like to build a small lab for our sewer and water plants, and attached to that would be a 2 or 3 car garage for some storage. A year ago, we had a couple employees achieve certifications to run the plants, and we were able to eliminate SPB, which was the licensed contractor for our district, which saved the district about $35,000 a year. So moving forward, now we contract out 100% of our lab work, which is expensive, between $15,000 and $20,000 a year for the sewer and water plants. So this is a cost avoidance also for the community to try to keep the rate stable and not have to raise them if we can. So we think we can probably do half of it in-house. A third party has to do some of the things for reporting to the state, but we feel we could do about half of them with our own employees, which gives us even more control of running the plant, which we do now. That's kind of it in a nutshell. It'd be located, it'd be just a small metal building, nothing fancy, be located on the sewer and water plant site. On a side note, we did apply last year for funds for the streets maintenance and a chip seal, which we were turned down by the committee because of they consider it to be more of a maintenance issue. So we subsequently put a bid out. Sierra Nevada Construction was awarded the low bid, or pending our meeting tomorrow night. They came in as a low bidder, so all the streets in the Rainbow Bend area will be have maintenance and a chip seal applied at the end of October, pending approval at our meeting tomorrow night. So just want to let you guys know that. But is any questions on our building or lab piece?
Mitch, do we have even an estimated amount yet?
Yeah, it's going to be $150,000 probably.
And
we're flexible too. We can, you know, we have funds available to match. Plus, we can, you know, do this in stages. So, you know, start off with the building, then put, you know, at a later date, plumbing and electrical or whatever.
And you're a great partner and landlord on our sheriff's substation out there, and we deeply appreciate that.
Yeah.
Would you consider possibly becoming the county's water service system, Virginia City, Gold Hill, and Silver City, essentially, would you consider becoming our lab as well, where we can reduce costs to SPB?
Sure.
Okay.
That's a pretty good deal if we pull that one off.
You know, anything we're qualified to do.
Okay.
Well, you'd be our independent third party.
Anything else? Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Good to see you again.
Thanks.
Howdy.
You like pictures.
Wow.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm here to represent the Lockwood Community Corporation Mobile Home Park. We have a severe erosion problem. And the first picture shows some blocks that we have put up. These blocks, we're going to need 3,000 linear feet, and the blocks are 2 by 2 by 6. They each weigh 3,700 pounds, and the cost, we need 500, and the cost is $50 a piece. And some places they're going to have to go too high. We also have a drainage problem on Perry Ranch Road. So for our project, we're asking for $200,000. And the drain problem is, like I said, is on Perry Ranch Road. So these rocks are falling, the mountains are falling. Some have hit cars. And it's dangerous to the homes. So this is our project. And as you can see, some of the erosion in those pictures.
Yeah, I've seen this when I've driven up there. It's pretty obvious.
We have put Band-Aids, but it's to the time where we've got to save some of the homes.
That the 300,000, is that what you...
200,000.
If the blocks are $50 each at 500, that accounts for 25,000 of it. Where's the
okay?
Rest?
The trucks hauling it, right. Each load is $115 plus 6% of their gas.
Okay.
Engineering.
Yeah.
We don't have a solid cost on that yet, Pat, but. This is what we...
Yeah. I have a question on the blocks. If you stack those too high, does that require any special engineering?
4 foot, that's what I understand. I think anything above 4 foot has to have
engineering. And how big are those? They're 2 footers or 3 footers?
They look like they're about 3 foot high.
No, they're 2 by 2 by 6.
Okay, so they're just right at that... Okay.
Keep in mind also that since this is federal funds are being used on this project, it will be subject to prevailing wage, which that considerably increases the labor costs. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And so will canyons then,
yep.
Probably, because it'll go over 100,000.
Yep, they'll be subject.
Okay.
Anything that you're constructing.
Yeah, I keep forgetting about that. Darn government again, by the way, huh? All right.
Do we have any other further questions?
No, but I know from driving around up there, it's pretty darn obvious that something's got to be done. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, because some of those rocks, especially where the Rock Mountains are huge.
I know.
Yeah.
If it hit your car, it's all over.
Yeah.
Came off the side of that mountain. No question about that. Well, any questions?
We're proposing to look at this for the next budget cycle, Pat.
$200,000.
$200,000?
Is that what you're... Are we
proposing to look at this as the next budget cycle?
No, for purposes of this, we're looking to find its potential suitability through the community development block grant process at this stage of the game. So the question would be, in the practice that we're trying to go through here on Thursday night and then at least one more meeting, is to take really all the considerations that are out there, Mitch's, Sean's, I lost you guys somewhere in the process, Susan's, you know, and Edna's, and say, okay, if we have a total of 2 apps here, we have a total of 2 apps. Usually we don't cap dollar amounts, but there's a practical limit that gets through the intensive CDBG process. I mean, this is the most structured grant board I've ever seen, maybe with the exception. I know Ron James is in here somewhere, so I'll delete. Okay, then I don't have to say anything about SHPO. But I mean, CDBG is a major driver. It's tough to get anything out. I'm not surprised that we were turned down last year on that project because it's so competitive for the amount. So, you know, what we're really not thinking forward for the budget now. Although, if this were not to either make your cut of two, or if it were not to survive the CDBG, we could certainly look at phasing some type of fixes out there, you know, through the road, you know, through the road budgets and everything.
I have another question, Mr. Chairman. If the event that any two of the four that get decided on, do they get funded in full, or is there a chance that they might say, well, we will fund 50% of your project, but not all of it?
That happened this year with RSVP. They came to us, you sent through advisory board, which I'm on that advisory board this year. You go through and you present your project. They came back to us and said, we only have I believe it was $58,500, and we put in for about $64,000. Can you do your project with this amount? RSVP said yes. As they went through further deliberations with hearing different proposals, they came back to us and say, hey, we found another, I think we were up to $63,150. So there is that opportunity for them to say, okay, you're requesting $200,000, but we've only got $100,000. Can you do the project for that? And that's when you have to decide yes or no.
In our options there, it's the art of selling yourself, putting something like Edna up there with pictures. And yes, we can do half of it this time, and we'll do the most critical half where we have the greatest exposure to the houses, and we'll come back in a couple of years or look for internal funding or a sugar daddy.
Okay, so you don't have to look at an all or nothing scenario.
Again, what's the timing on this, Jerry, when we're looking at these various projects? What's the timeline?
The application is due January 7th. We'll come back to you on November 19th, and that's when we'll ask for a recommendation of priority number one and number two. And then we'll have applications due to me by December 3rd. So we've got about a month to work with the entity that we choose to get that application refined and submitted. These grants require no matching funds. However, it looks good if you can provide matching. And on all of the grants that we've received so far, we've put matching in there. It's been small on some projects, but if you look like you're contributing, that's kind of, it's more appealing to them. So you're
so
just not coming to us.
This project is being developed in the park, and you're developing the project?
Yes. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
So the information, the budgets, the contracting, those issues are coming together through a committee, I understand?
They're working, I believe you guys are working with Far West.
Far West Engineering.
Far West.
Mm-hmm. And they are going to help us.
They'll be the, you know, if they select them as they move forward, they'll probably act as their project manager for this project. We'll, of course, on the county side, any project that we choose to sponsor, we're responsible for all the reporting, and it's very intensive, but we do work with the nonprofit or whoever that other agency is to help us with all of the reporting. So.
I'd appreciate a heads up on this, and I'd be delighted to join you in this effort. So let me know what's happening when.
I sure will.
I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sherry, while Sean's coming up, just real briefly again, both Mitch's proposal and Edna's proposal, we have certified the income levels in Lockwood, so they're of no issue or concern to us.
Yep. They're both completely eligible at this point. Yeah. So.
Good morning, Sean Griffin. In the spirit of full disclosure, Sherry's on our board. And on Thursday, she had mentioned to me about CDBG grants, and specifically the exemption for the seniors. And so I was thinking about two things in specific. One is an opportunity to expand our senior food commodities distribution to multiple sites besides our site. In conjunction with the food bank, we distribute senior food commodities Tuesday mornings once a week, and we'd like to increase that both to Mark Twain and Lockwood. In conjunction with the food bank. And then secondly, I called April at the senior center, asked her what her needs were, and she said primarily kitchen repair maintenance. Any of those costs are not covered in her budget, and also vehicle repair maintenance. And I think we can do all of this for $25,000. And in similar spirit, in the past, when we have put forth CDBG grant proposals for the community center, we have deferred on all of them, and that was four different times for sewer and water and other public projects in the community, because at that juncture they were of a greater need. And I'm just sharing that because I think it's important for you to understand the history and the context here. This isn't my first time with CDBG. I've done this repeatedly. But I have not also participated recently because of the income survey. But I think we can utilize these funds proactively to really assist both the senior center here and senior food commodities distribution throughout the county. The more we can ratchet that up, the greater that the access to that food for the public. So, and because we get an exemption, we can apply across the different domains, and it'll affect the whole county. And again, you know, it's really the board's decision and Sherry's decision what is going to be the strongest proposal. If it's in the best interest of the community to do something else, I'm supportive of that. If we can do this also, I want to try it.
Okay.
Anything else? Thank you. Any questions?
No questions. Okay.
Thank you all for joining us today and presenting. I think it's the most people that I can remember being here to provide public input. So
certainly the most diverse.
Yeah.
I have one more question, if I may, Mr. Chairman, for Susan. Susan, since you're so multi-county, multi-jurisdictional, are you approaching any other local government jurisdictions and asking for their consideration?
Yes. We look under every rock. Jan Sayers, our beloved departed executive director, taught me that you always ask what you need. And so we are working with the State of Nevada Aging and Disability Services Division, with the Corporation for National and Community Service, with counties such as yourselves, foundations, NV Energy. You know, we work to find ways to work together in partnership with the Alzheimer's Association, the United Way. So, yes, sir, we do.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Sherry.
Is there anyone else in the public who has any ideas for possible projects? As I mentioned earlier, I'll be at the Planning Commission meeting in Mark Twain on Thursday evening. I'll also be back before you on December 19th, where we'll need to make recommendations on our number one and number two project. November 19th. That's our next scheduled commissioners meeting. And then we'll have applications due December 3rd, with final submittal to the state by January 7th, 2014. And then the process goes from there. Applications are submitted in January. The advisory committee convenes for training on February 13th, and then the advisory panel is, I believe it's the last week in March. It's over a period of about 5 days. So I will be participating in that this year.
I suppose my request for a public airport would be...
You can relate it to economic development somehow. And you have big enough space. Come forward. So if anyone has any questions for me, I'm happy to answer those. Otherwise, thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's do 10 minutes, huh? Okay, reset.